Good morning. It's really good to be with you today in this opportunity. And I want to begin by saying, I wish you were here so that I could give each one of you a hug, especially today. And I want you to know that I love you. Each and every one of you. I'd like to thank you all for your giving to the Crown of Blessing, as it enables us to care for other people and to minister to different ones. And we have been doing that. We have some pictures here of some of those that have been receiving your giving. And they are greatly blessed. They are expressing that, as you see, their love and appreciation as Peter distributes the food into various needy families that have been starving. And you can see what she's holding is not exactly what you'd buy at the supermarket here, but they are profoundly grateful for that. So thank you so much for your giving as we continue to care for others who have far less than we do. As you know, have been in a series on From Faith to Faith and the Harvest of Miracles. But before I get into that subject, if I get into that subject, I'd like to take you on what I might call a brief visit to hell. Because I believe it's vital for us to understand the pain of our time. You know, pain is meant to be instructive. It's meant to point us to causes and remedies. And around the globe, there are millions who are feeling pain today. And I have felt pain in the last number of days, as I'm sure millions around the world have felt as well. And I want to talk a little bit about that because, as I said, I believe it's vitally important for us to have a grasp of pain and what to do about it. You know, if you went to a doctor and you said, I'm having pain, and he'd say, well, I'm sorry about that, goodbye. He'd say, well, what's the point of having a doctor? He's supposed to address the causes of my pain so that my pain goes away. And the pain I felt this last week was a reminder of a portion of my journey that I could only describe as a brief visit to hell. You see, hell is the place of separation. It's the place where there isn't any loving going on. There isn't any intimacy. There's only anger and hate and distance. And in my journey, and I'm not going to go into much of it, but just to say that this last week was a reminder of a year of my life growing up as a young boy in a part of America in the 60s when racial violence and tension were much more common than they are today. I didn't understand what was going on. I lived in the middle of it, and it seemed like the distress and the anger and the violence were in the air. It was like an oppression I hated every day. I hated to go to school and want to connect with other children my age and play sport. But the opportunities were very limited because of what was going on. It seemed like a dark time. It was a dark time. And like anyone else, I tried to understand what's going on. I didn't understand it at all. And, you know, that's one of the features of hate. It is irrational. It's irrational on the part of the hater, and it's irrational on the part of the hated. It's kind of like love. God's love is irrational as well. Why would we love God when we were against him? And he was against us. And why would God love us? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So both of them are irrational. And, you know, as old as I am, I've never been able to figure out the logic or the reason behind either one of those things. But I know this. I'd rather have one than the other, as I know you would. And so in that segment of my life journey, I was constantly perplexed by it. I was taught, like many people, when you're a child, you go to Sunday school and they teach you a little song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Doesn't matter their skin color. But here I was as a young person in an opposite world. And I'll never forget that when my parents moved us away, it seemed like I'd left hell. Because the oppression of hatred was so thick. I didn't think life was meant to be that way. And I had a lot of, probably like you in your journey, uneducated instincts and no ability to grasp it or to actually affect any difference. I felt helpless, as millions do around the world today, in terms of what could I do to make a difference. And it wasn't until some years later that I began to understand how I was to respond to that pain and what a difference could be made. And of course, as time went on, I saw lots of changes. But of course, as you know, legislation doesn't resolve those things that are matters of the heart. They can go underground. They can come out in other ways. But as we've learned from the Old Testament, the law itself does not deal with the heart. Only God deals with the heart. And so when we experience heart pain, we know we've got a heart problem. And there's only one place that we can go for a solution. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that things should be done. Of course they should, in terms of justice and laws and so on. But all those things are external. In the end, it's God touching the hearts of men and women. And it's vital for us in this season that we find the medicine of heaven for what's happening in our world. You know, we live in a broken world. But those of us who know Christ, we're from another world. And we bring what we have to a broken world to bring healing, help, and hope. It's only God who can cleanse the human heart from anger and hatred and racism. That's the only remedy. And we, as God's family, we have that in our possession. Romans 5:5 says, God has poured his love into our hearts. You know, Jesus knew what it was to experience the sum totality of rejection. As he was dying on the cross, his last words were, prior to saying, "It is finished," were, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knew what it was to experience the rejection and the hatred and the violence and the pride and the sin and the anger of all of mankind poured on himself. And he took that for this moment in our time. Romans chapter 12 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so, as a family, as a church family, we know what God desires our response to be in a broken world. And that is just like it is for a doctor to bring the medicine of heaven. Oh, yes, it's important for us to champion justice in terms of government and law and all of those things. But in the end, the only solution for all of man's troubles is in here. It's in the heart. And I want to pray for us all today. As we experience our own pain and we share the pain of so many others who have felt the distancing of hell as it has raged around the world in these days. And because it's so vital for us to be healed. Not that our healing makes the issue go away, but it enables us to be who we are, those that offer love instead of hate. And so I want to pray for us all today. I want to pray for every person on this planet that is suffering the pain of division, the pain of being separated, the pain of being rejected, the pain of being marginalized, and the brokenness that comes with it all. So put your hand on your heart with me today. As we ask the one who made our hearts to bring the healing balm of heaven to us. The crushing we felt is only a portion of what he has felt. Father, you know us all. You know the broken world that we live in and the brokenness that many feel today so strongly. And we pray that in that mysterious and powerful work of the Holy Spirit, you come to each of our hearts and wherever there is cleansing to be done, cleanse us, wash us from any sin that would divide or separate us from anyone on this planet. Come, Holy Spirit, and cause that well of the love of Christ to well up inside of us and be poured out to a loveless world, to a confused world, and to a broken world. Thank you, Lord, that we will not be paralyzed by the works of darkness, but we will be energized by the Spirit to carry the power of your love to redeem, to transform, and to bring forth amazing goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know that there are many aspects of this issue, and you can explore the furthest reaches and dig down deep in a lot of avenues and have a million discussions and read a million articles on the web and so on. But in the end, you make a choice. Will you go on being a lover? Will you go on being a lover? I believe you will. I believe that Jesus in you will cause you and I to shine more than ever before in a world that's looking for answers. We haven't even finished with Corona, and already around the globe, there's another storm. And it's not just a storm in Australia and America and UK. I was reading yesterday, the Afghanis are rioting about police brutality in Iran against them. So it's a common theme. And you can go a long ways in searching the circumference of it. But what God wants us all to have now is a perspective and a determination that the world's going to see there's a group of people who just love everybody. And I am proud to be a part of a church family that I believe exhibits and expresses the love of Christ. Thank you for being faithful to love Him and to love everyone. I know sometimes you may wonder why I say at the end of every message, oh, hug 9 people. Well, you know the diversity we have here. It is a constant reminder that our number one focus in this planet is to be lovers. Always be loving. Circumstances change in people's lives, but we still love them. All kinds of things happen, but we still love. We still care. So just remember that when it's your time to gather with us together and we're closing a service and I say we hug 9 people today, that's what Christ is doing with you and with me every day of our lives. That's what our world is really looking for, especially in this season. And so I'd like to come back to our theme this week that we have been looking at from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and actually this passage of Scripture kind of ties what I was talking about in my brief visit to hell and what is really a cry in the hearts of many people across the globe and our current topic, which is a harvest of miracles. But Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. Well, let's take verse 6. It says, so the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. So there must be unjust judges in Jesus' day. He says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. I like to just say that this particular subject is global, it's cyclical, but there is another cry for justice that's coming for God's people, and that the ultimate haters of other people in redemptive history will go on being people from other nations and tribes and so on. But ultimately, Jesus said that in the last days, men will hate you and want to put you to death. And so we're in a classroom right now of what kind of response we're going to have when we're faced with the kind of hatred that many people on our planet today are living with every single day. And so God wants us to have a proper insight and understanding as we go forward. For this is another classroom of preparation. And it says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So, you know, faith comes out of your inner man. It comes out of your heart. And if you're carrying the arrow of wounding, then you won't have a heart of faith. You will be like anyone who is ill. You'll be focused on yourself. You won't be focused on God and his promises. And so these two themes are really tied. Is that with all the turmoil and storm and trouble that are happening in our world and whatever has been and what is down the road, this question Jesus raised, will he find faith on the earth? What's he saying? Not that he doesn't want it, but he says there will be so many things to distract us from being people who are loving and people who are filled with faith. Loving and filled with faith. And you know, in the New Testament, those two concepts are tied together, love and faith. And if you did a search in the New Testament, you'd see love and faith are like two sisters all the way through the Scriptures. And in fact, in Galatians, the Bible says, the only thing that matters is faith working itself through love or expressing itself through love. So those two things come together. And certainly in this time, in this season, God is emphasizing both of those. Loving and being people of faith. People who connect with God in such a powerful way the world sees there is a miraculous dimension to their life and says, yeah, I want that. I want that. I was reading a testimony this morning about a woman in Africa who was so deficient of hope. She had no food. She couldn't go to work. And as a result of all of the distress, her husband left. She took a rope and she tied it around her neck. And she was about to take her life and leave her husband and her children on their own. But interestingly enough, because she was outside, she happened to hear a radio broadcast. And in that radio broadcast, she heard a note that was different than the one going on inside here. And that was the note of hope. That was the note of God's love and God's promise and God's readiness to help and do things different for her if she put her faith in him. And so she took the noose off of her neck and came down and gave her life to Christ. As a result of that, her husband returned. Interestingly enough, she was allowed to go back to work to produce income, to provide for her family. Her story caused many people to come to know Christ. Why? Because it resonated with them. It resonated with them. Put your faith in someone greater than yourself. And so God's challenge to us all in these days in which we're living is to put our faith in him in such an amazing and powerful and vibrant way. That's what this series is all about, is to demystify faith so that it becomes so much of the part of the way I think and you think and the way we respond to everything that goes on in this world, that we become what we might call faith people. Those are our instincts, our natural response. We immediately think of a scripture that's full of something opposite to what we're seeing. And we say, yeah, this is the truth. This is what I live by. This is what I'm going with. This is my portion. This is my inheritance. I'll have it. And as a result of that, we'll see what Israel saw as they came into the promised land. And so let us go back to Genesis chapter 12 as we started last week to look at some of these components of faith. And I want to just do a very quick review today because I want you to capture something about faith. If there's anything that is precious in your possession, it is your capacity, it is your ability to believe God. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't know Christ. And I want to say to you today, if you're listening to this message and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never put your faith in Him, that He died on the cross about 2,000 years ago for you, and He took your sin and my sin and all the sin of mankind, if you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to put your faith in Him, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, to come in and become your Savior and your Lord. For the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You'll be saved. Christ will come and live on the inside of you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've heard many people say, oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've done so many terrible things. God could never forgive me. Oh, yes, He could. He took it all. Everything that you ever did and didn't do, He took on Calvary. All you have to do is put your faith in Him. And so as we are learning to develop this instinct of faith to everything that is in our world, we go to this story here in Genesis chapter 12. And we look at some of the great insights that we find in this passage where the Lord said to Abram, who became Abraham, the father of all who believe, the Bible says, and He, in this initial instruction, we find some really wonderful, amazing insights about faith. God wants you to have these insights. He wants me to have not just in my head, but in the way I live. And the first thing that God said to Abram was He said, leave. And you know, as a component of faith, that's where you start. You have to leave your current situation, your current circumstances. You say, Pastor, but how do I do that? I mean, if it's a condition in my body or a condition in my finance or a condition in my, how do I leave it? I'm not talking about ending your life. I'm not talking about moving to another country. I'm talking about something that goes on inside of here, in your heart. You have to make a decision. I'm going to not stay here any longer. I'm going to leave. I'm going to move to a new location. I'm giving up the status quo, what I have accepted, perhaps even unwittingly. I didn't like it. And we're funny creatures. A lot of times we can accept things that we don't like. We can have a condition in our body that we don't like, but we accept it. We just accommodate it. That's not God's intent. And if you're listening today, I want to say to you, you don't belong in that wheelchair. You don't belong with that problem in your kidneys, that problem with arrhythmia in your heart. You don't belong with sickle cell. That's not where God intended you to live. That's not your divine address. You have a citizenship in heaven, and you have a divine health, and you have a divine promise, and you have a divine life that God says, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. If you're without a job, if your business has gone down, whatever it is, that's not your permanent address. And if you're going to be a person of faith, you have to first make that decision just as it was to Abram. It was a command. It wasn't, well, here's an idea or a suggestion, Abram. Why don't you consider this? Here's an option. No, He gives him a command. He said, leave. God is telling us all, I want you to leave some stuff that doesn't belong to you. Even a lot of stuff that you don't like. You're uncomfortable. And if you're uncomfortable, God says, it's time to make a decision to leave. It starts there. Faith starts with a decision to leave. Just as when you came to know Christ, you left this world and its ways. You made a decision to choose to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That was a decision. You put the world behind you, as the old song says. Goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm no longer going to serve the devil by serving the master of self. I am going to choose to make the Lord Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I choose. Before you saw any other changes, you made a decision. You made a decision to leave this world. You'd had enough of the pain and the death that sin and being a sinner has in it. You made that decision. And so if I could even just get across this one first part of our faith walk and faith understanding, it's you have to make that decision. You have to change your current disposition or your current attitude towards a condition or a circumstance. I remember when I was in a service and God was healing people, and I came up to one young man and I said, "So what is it you would like from the Lord today?" He said, "Well," he said, I have a terrible problem with my right knee, and it gives me a lot of pain when I walk." I said, "Okay, I'll speak and God will heal you today." He said, "Oh no, Pastor, don't do that." I said, "What?" He said, "Don't do that." I said, "Why is that?" He said, I don't believe it's my turn." I said, "What do you mean you don't believe it's your turn?" It's just not my day. And I thought to myself, can you imagine what Acts chapter 3 would be like if Peter's on his way to the temple and the beggar's there and he's asking for money, and Peter says, "Well, I don't have any money on me," but he says, what you need, I've got." And the beggar turns and says, "No, not today, not today." He'd still be there. I want to say to you, you have to make that decision. And I get it. I get it. I understand. When you've had a condition, a situation, a set of circumstances that has been around for a period of time, sometimes you have a heart problem, and the heart problem says, "Well, I'm not sure I want to set out. I'm not sure I want to leave, just because I don't want to leave and be disappointed. So I kind of live in the contradiction. I'd like to be healed. I'd like to believe God for something better about myself or my family or my family or whatever it is. I'd like to, but I don't want to be disappointed again." God's command to Abram was, you have to make that decision. You've been living long enough in idolatry. You got to make that decision to leave. You don't belong there. I want to say to you, when you will make that first decision, that first choice to say, "Okay, I'm hearing the word of the Lord. I am going to leave. I'm not staying here in this set of circumstances. I'm not staying in my poverty. I'm not staying in my sickness. I'm not staying. In fact, at the end of this message, I've got a song I'd like to recommend you to listen to. Two songs, actually. One, "Won't Stop Now," and another one by the Binions called "I Can't Stay Here." That's a message God wants you to hear today. You cannot stay here any longer. He loves to interrupt us and give us this word time and time and time again in our journey. It's time to leave. It's time to leave. It's time to leave. It's time to leave. And sometimes there's a space of time between leaving and getting. But nevertheless, if God's telling you to leave, that means you're going to arrive. And I love what the scripture says. The Bible says that Abram left, and then a few verses later it says, and he arrived there. Can you see yourself arriving there? You can only see yourself arriving there realistically if you choose to leave. Leave. I've had it with this. No more. No more. No more. You don't like what you've been experiencing. You have to sometimes declare war on what wars against you. There's a battle in your mind. Maybe there's a battle in your body or your circumstance, whatever it is, but there's a war. You have to make a decision to declare war on what wars against you. You can never expect to have victory of any kind unless you do that. It's called the fight of faith. And you have to say, yes, I'm going, I'm leaving, and I'm going to arrive. I have a promise. I've accepted it. I receive it. And I will see the manifestation of it. That settles it. Give up accommodating what God never intended you to accommodate. He spilled his blood for you and for me. And as his blood flowed from his body, every drop was a powerful statement. That's not where you live any longer. That's not where you live. I made a way for you to live in a different place. And so as God touches your heart today, your heart of faith, it's so that you can move in whatever dimension of life you have a need to another location. You can arrive there. And you can, like the woman who had the noose around her neck when she heard the word, and she believed, she lifted the noose off of her neck and went to another location. Something's been strangling your life, and it's time to take the noose off of your neck by your own decision. To say, I have heard the word of the Lord today. I'm leaving this place. I'm leaving unemployment. I'm leaving sickness. I'm leaving business failure. I'm leaving whatever it is. I'm leaving. And so as we close in prayer today, I'd like you to say aloud, wherever you are, I'm leaving. I'm leaving because I'm going to arrive. I'm going to arrive where God says is my destination. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you that you love us so much. You know everything about us, and you know everything in our journey and all the stuff that's gone on in our heads, and sometimes, Lord, how we've unwittingly accommodated things that you never intended. But today, Lord, we will agree with you. Just as you told the father of faith to leave, we agree with you. We're leaving. We're leaving. That's what he said to his family. We're leaving. We're leaving. We're going. We don't even know exactly how, but we're going. We're going. And so that's what we say today, Father. We're leaving. We're leaving sickness and disease and despair. We're leaving all those things that are a result of sin in this world. We're leaving them, and we're going to enter the place of blessing, of promise, fruitfulness, health, provision. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to just reflect on what you've heard today, and as you might remember, last week I encouraged you to make yourself one of these little journals called A Harvest of Miracles. And really this is kind of part of your faith, and I'll come back to its biblical basis for doing so. But it's really making a statement to yourself and maybe anybody else who lives in your house or somebody else who comes to your house that I actually believe that I'm going to have a harvest of miracles. I'm going to have a harvest of miracles. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And if you were here, you could see that I've already begun putting the harvest of miracles in mine. And I was telling my grandson the other day, when you come to visit, you can see Papa's harvest of miracles. You can come and read it anytime. I'd like to encourage you to do that. Because I know I'm giving him something that he is going to use as an expectation of what should be there in his life. So I want to encourage you to do that. And lastly, as I said, I'd like to also encourage you to look at these songs you can find on the internet. Who You Say I Am, that's by Hillsongs. As It Is, by Hillsongs. Won't Stop Now, by Elevation. And I Can't Stay Here, by the Binions. Let me speak a blessing on you now, that as you open your heart to Him in these days, the one who has loved you and has loved me forever, let us go on loving each other, loving our neighbors, loving our friends and family. Let us be filled with faith that we might reveal to this world what they are desperately, desperately, desperately looking for. Father, thank you for this moment. And I speak a blessing on anyone who is watching or listening today, that in the name of Jesus, the grace of God floods their spirit, their mind, their body, their home, your favor. You said this is the time of favor, and I speak favor upon everyone who listens or who has watched this broadcast. In the name of Jesus, receive the favor of God in your body now, in your finances, in your perspective. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. In Jesus' name, the peace of God comes upon you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week with Him.